Let's turn back to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And here the apostle's practical direction for applying the doctrine is in evidence. He is beginning to teach how to walk worthy of the Lord. And he begins first with relationships, the relationship between ourselves and God, and then the relationship between the saint and Christ. The saint and the church, and then the family, relationships within the family. So let's read verse 1 of chapter 3. And we'll read down through verse 20. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And we'll end the reading of God's word there. And looking to God for help in understanding his word and in obeying him, especially we look at verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So here in this chapter of Colossians, Paul continues teaching the church how to please the Lord Jesus. Particularly, he is teaching about the family, and he has already spoken to give instruction to wives and husbands, as we read it there, and now he turns to this other family relationship, the relationship between parents and children. You might have seen quite a bit of disobedience from children. And seeing that kind of disobedience can make some people cynical. If you have raised children, you might have cringed sometimes at how people treat your little ones with favor, and then they prognosticate your coming doom. Oh, such nice babies. They're so nice when they're babies, but wait until they're two, or wait until they're teenagers, then you'll be sorry. Or they say, what a handful. Or they have the bumper sticker on their car that reads, headaches on board. Why are these denunciations of the parent-child relationship so common? It must be that so few people experience happiness in it. As believers, we are asking, is there any redemption for the family from Christ? Must we, like the world, endure a parent-child relationship destined for misery, or can God's blessing be upon it? As usual, Paul's instruction begins with those who are under authority, and here it is for the children. Have you children ever said, I wish I knew how to please the Lord Jesus? Well, then this command has been given to you from the Lord to bring you peace and happiness. Children should obey their parents to please the Lord. And pleasing the Lord is true for both parents and children. God's answer for the family in a nutshell is that if both parents and children strive to please the Lord Jesus, both will be blessed. Today we look just at children obeying their parents, and we're going to establish first the context for this command and then observe what exactly it means to obey. Children, obey to please the Lord. Obey to please the Lord. Again, verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Let's examine the context for this command. The foundational truth that has to be taken into account in the parent-child relationship is the truth about sin. The family is an institution as old as creation, and like creation, it has been distorted by sin. Our families stand in need of the Redeemer's help, for it's only in His way of dealing with sin that we can obtain the blessing He has for us. Well, that's true in every case, isn't it? The only way to obtain God's blessing, period, is if Christ the Redeemer deals with our sin. That means obedience to the gospel. We must obey Christ, who commands all people to come to Him for salvation, and who promises that He will save them. Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10. Christ's way of saving is belief, but not belief only. Salvation also requires repentance. And repent is a command. Christ's forerunner, John the Baptist, preached it. The Lord Jesus preached it. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Matthew 4. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. To repent is basically to come back under the rule of God. It is to cease being a rebel and begin to be an obedient child of God. You can only do this by faith in Christ, and faith in Christ always goes hand in hand with repentance, so that if anyone says they believe in Christ but do not obey the moral law, they lie and do not practice righteousness. The disobedient still need to repent. If God is our Father, we must obey as sons. Now, you can tell that there's a fundamental principle at work in the world. The principle is that you cannot have happiness without the rightful exercise of authority. I'll say it again. You cannot have happiness without the rightful exercise of authority. Now, someone may say, well, we have love. Why do we need authority? Maybe you don't need that. But what does Christ say? He says, if you keep My commandments, you shall abide in My love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, John 15:10, which says love and authority are connected. Obedience is not inimical or the enemy of love. In fact, God the Father gave authoritative commandments even to his incarnate Son. And love responds to authority as Christ did. Love obeys authority willingly. And so that principle has to be taken into the context, but in further setting the context, it will help to see some biblical examples where the parent-child relationship went wrong. In these, you're going to find that where parents indulged their children did not end up obeying the Lord. In other words, spoiled children rarely make servants of the Lord. Sadly, one of the examples is from the life of David. 1 Kings 1 tells of how one of David's sons, named Adonijah, staged a revolt against his father when his father was an elderly man. And this was much more than the typical feud between sons to see who would obtain the father's throne. This was rebellion against God, an unwillingness to wait on the Lord, an unwillingness to obey God's word through Nathan the prophet, and an unwillingness to obey the king that God would set up, which we know was Solomon. And so the scripture says that Adonijah exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And then the scripture gives us the critical detail. It says his father, David, had never at any time displeased him by asking, "Why have you done thus and so?" You see what the scriptures are saying. They say David was not a good parent. They say he spoiled his son and didn't discipline him or rebuke him. He was an indulgent parent. And you have likely seen some indulgent parents. You see them in the store, their children demanding, "No, I want it." And the mom saying, "Okay, I'll get it for you, my little baby." You see it in families where the parents are servants and the child is the master. And in extreme cases, you sometimes see a little 3-foot-high child commanding father or mother who submissively obeys as if to royalty. The whole family is miserable. And no surprise, because this turns God's order of authority on its head. Another permissive parent was Eli the priest. The story is told in 1 Samuel 2 about Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli. The scripture says they did not know the Lord. It says they treated the Lord with contempt. And as grown men, their sins finally caught the attention of their father, who did rebuke them, but we might say his rebuke came too little, too late. He should have deposed them from the priesthood, or according to the law, taken them to the elders to accuse them, but he only rebuked them, which was too little. Also, it seems his indulgent or negligent parenting from earlier on bore the fruit of rebellion in them as young men. And so the Lord sent his prophet to rebuke Eli, and God said to him, "Why do you honor your sons above me?" Now, the reason for giving these examples is to show first that the obedience of children matters, but also that obedience has to be taught and expected by parents. Parents must honor God more than they honor their children. And if they honor God, they will enforce authority over their children, which we know goes hand in hand with true parental love. The Lord should never have a reason to question Christian parents saying, "Why do you honor your sons above me?" If parents honor God more, then by God's grace, their children will honor them. And by God's grace, hopefully, their children will know God and honor God too. Thus, conformity to the precept, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." This takes us to the essential word obey. And what does it mean to obey? This word is a strengthened form of the word hear or listen. Listening is the intermediate action between disobedience and obedience. Let me say this a different way. In order to obey, we have to listen to rightful authority. Children have to listen to their parents. We all have to listen to God. So parents, when we parent, we must not direct our energies to achieving a result. We should parent, and our energies should be directed to achieve our children listening to our voice, because listening is that essential intermediate step to obedience. In other words, supposing that a parent says to her child, "Clean up the toys in your room and put them in the box." And supposing the child does not do it, well, the parent should discipline the child, perhaps with a spanking. But what the mother says during that time of discipline is very important. The mother has to say, "The reason I am disciplining you is not because your room is still a mess and it annoys me. I am disciplining you because you did not obey my voice. You disobeyed my voice. And because you did not obey my voice, you did not do as I asked. In fact, you sometimes find adults who have learned to disobey God's voice, yet to smooth over their consciences against any pain that they are doing wrong. They say, I turned out okay. I'm a good person. I work hard. I take care of my children." But there's this essential intermediate that is not there. They have never listened to God. And therefore, no matter what they claim, they have not obeyed God. Remember the importance of listening that is told us in the Shema of Deuteronomy 6. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Hear." So obedience means hear. God speaks, man must listen. If children want to please the Lord, they must listen to their parents' voice and, of course, follow through with what is commanded. So with God, we must listen to God and do what he commands. And if parents would have obedient children, we parents must require that our children listen to our voice. In other words, there should be no instruction, rule, or commandment that a parent gives that he or she will not follow up to enforce if that command goes unheeded. These words, "Children, obey your parents," are the apostles' repetition of the fifth commandment of the moral law. And so now I'm continuing to explain what it means to obey. This is a repetition of the fifth commandment of the moral law. This is one of those places in the New Testament that demonstrate how the coming of Christ, the advent of the apostolic age, the growth of the church, and so on, retains and reinforces the moral law of the Ten Commandments. Like the apostle said, we do not, by preaching a gospel of faith, overthrow the law. On the contrary, we establish the law, Romans 3:31. And I have to add, not, of course, to obtain salvation, but as a rule of righteousness, because it's revelation of what behavior pleases God. The fifth commandment has something to say to superiors or people who, because of their age and place and skills, are due reverence and obedience. Parents are the prime example. I'll talk about them in a moment. The commandment also has something to say to equals, people who have no authority over you, nor do you have authority over them. And of course, it speaks to those who are inferiors, not in terms of their worth, but within the ordering of the world. The fifth commandment is, honor your father and your mother. How does honor your father and your mother imply duties to equals and inferiors, really briefly, it basically sets forth that there's this order, this chain of command in the world. Parents are the first governors that a child will know. They're the prime example of those to whom we owe obedience. And likewise, parents were the first governors of the world. All earthly authority belonged to Adam and Eve. We even call them our first parents. It's from parental authority that other authority stems. The governing of cities, counties, and countries grows out of the authority of parents. One example of this you may know well is known by school teachers. Teachers know they have a delegated authority over children not their own. This authority is extended from and by the parents of the children. This is a true concept. Parents, not the civil magistrate, have ultimate authority over their minor children, and of course we mean ultimate under Christ. Now, since parents are the first governors that a child will know, God's command is that children obey their parents in all things or everything. Children, obey your parents in everything. Children, obey your parents no matter what. Unless a parent is commanding the child to transgress God's law, the child is to obey. God commands obedience not in a few things or sometimes, but in everything at all times. And God's reason for this is very simple. It's because from childhood, we all have to learn the principle that obedience is not conditional. Children, I dare say you've been out on the playground or in the lunchroom and you have heard another child say something like, "But I don't want to," or "I don't like art," or "I'm too tired." We have to learn the rule of unconditional obedience because this is the pattern for dealing with God's voice. And when it comes to God who speaks through his word, the rule is obey God in everything. No exceptions, even if we don't feel like it. And we learn this by obeying our parents in everything. Later on, as grown-ups, we'll still have to practice the rule before we practice exceptions. What are exceptions? Well, obey in all things unless it's sin. Adults, we are under the authority of governors, presidents, in other countries, kings, and so on. Those authorities are appointed by God. Righteous living means rendering to authority whatever is owed. Taxes, revenue, respect, or honor, Romans 13, unless the authorities are commanding sin. In the church, the rule holds also, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, Hebrews 13. The principle holds unless the authority commands sin. For children in the home, God commands obedience in everything because home is where those building blocks for an honorable life are arranged. And God's will is for us all to live lives that are godly and dignified in every way. Can I show you now an example of perfect obedience? In Luke 2, Jesus, as a boy, was found by his parents in the temple, asking the teachers questions and listening to them. And that is itself telling. Although he was God and although he was humanly very bright at age 12 and knowledgeable, he submitted to fallible teachers. He wasn't trying to teach them. He was listening and asking questions. That was his place. And when he had come away from the temple with his parents, it says, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. He obeyed the commandment. When his mother said, "Put on your sandals, Jesus, we're ready to walk to synagogue," he did it. When she said, "Clear the table," he did it. If they had household chores, he did his share. If he was told to eat vegetables, he did it. In whatever his parents asked, he did it cheerfully and willingly. He obeyed them, even when he was tired, even when he didn't feel like it. Even when his brothers and sisters did irritating things, he obeyed, even though Mary, his mother, and Joseph, his earthly father, were sinners who made parenting mistakes and sometimes sinned against him. Do you think that as a boy, Jesus troubled his parents' household or brought joy to it? In Proverbs 11:29, God has something to say about the person who troubles his own house. And what God says is, whoever troubles his own household will inherit the wind. Were you a troubler of the household you grew up in? Children, is your disobedience troubling your own house? By now we understand that the family needs the Redeemer's help to shake free of sin's power and to obtain blessing. We understand that spoiled children don't usually serve the Lord, and that parents must train their children to obey their voices. We know that Paul is reiterating the fifth commandment, and we know that the Lord Jesus himself obeyed his parents in everything, and thus is the ultimate example to follow. But we have not yet talked about the how question. What are some specific ways children can obey their parents? First of all, children can love their parents. Obey means children must try to stir up as much affection for their parents as they can and seek to bring that affection into kind, thoughtful acts towards them. Loving them means not taking them for granted. Do a thought experiment sometimes, children. Try to imagine what you would do all by yourself if your parents suddenly died. Some of the most interesting, sad but true stories are about orphans having to fend for themselves. Life is really, really hard for them. That instant gratification of freedom is soon undermined by reality. I have no one to make a sandwich for me, or to wash my clothes, or to care whether people hurt me, or whether I'm injured or die. I'm afraid and I'm alone. Love your parents. Secondly, think of your parents reverently and esteem them highly. Think of them reverently and esteem them highly. Here is one of the places the law touches on our thoughts. God desires righteousness from us, from the heart, in the inner man, and thinking highly of parents goes together with honoring them with titles. To please Christ, children, answer your parents with a yes, mom, or no, mom, or something similar. And around their friends, children refer to their parents, their father or mother, as my mom, or my father, my mother, never as the old man, or dude, or slang names. And along with reverence, we should guard our parents' reputation, standing up for their good name, if any other child, such as a brother or sister, sullies it. Thirdly, children should embrace their parents' instructions. For example, supposing your father really wants you to lace your shoes a certain way. Maybe what he wants isn't important. And maybe you know a better way that your friend taught you, but you obey your father's instruction, his way of doing things, while you're living in his house. And of course, you can always respectfully ask to do it another way, but if he insists, obedience will do it his way. Who knows? You might even discover that his way was best. Proverbs 1:8, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, how much more important to heed parental instruction when your parents are teaching you the ways of the Lord. Heed their instruction. Fourthly, children, submit to your parents when they are correcting you. Have you ever played the game of chess? Throughout the game, you can put your opponent's king in check. To check him is to warn him of danger. Well, when your parents are correcting you, they are putting you in check. They are warning you of a real and earnest danger, so submit to their corrections. Hebrews 12:9 says, "We have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them." The parent who spares the rod hates his son. Proverbs 13:24, "If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol." Proverbs 23, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Proverbs 29, in other words, loving correction is to bring good to the child and will spare him from punishment and death later on. So submit to correction. Learn from it. Heed reproof. A fifth way to obey that also applies to us who are grown-up children is to alleviate your parents when they fall on hard times, sickness, or want. Many children have their parents fall sick. Think of all the things that you children can do to help your mom or dad if they are sick. You can clean things, you can do dishes, you can take care of little brothers or sisters, you can bring your parents tea and so on. Older children can cook. When we become adults, children should be watchful to make sure their mothers and fathers can pay the bills, can get to their doctor, are receiving good doctor care, can stay in their home as long as possible. Sometimes that means moving in with mom or dad just to help them. This kind of loving obedience means putting your money where your mouth is, to give money and to make sacrifices so your parents can be comfortable. Some of Christ's strongest rebukes were for the religious leaders who taught grown-up children that they did not have to relieve their parents when their parents had need. And I do not know if you have ever thought of this. A sixth way to obey your parents. Sometimes children think, "What can I do? I'm so small, I'm so young, I can't really help anybody, my parents don't need me." But here is something you must do, something your parents need you to do, even if they don't know they need it. It is something that can help many people, something that can help yourself. Children should pray for their parents. They should pray for their parents. We're taught in Scripture in 1 Timothy 2:12 to pray for all who are in authority. And the apostle even says the result of our prayers may be that we live dignified lives, untroubled and quiet. We do ourselves and others good if we pray for kings and all who are in authority, because God answers such prayers. And so it is in praying for your parents. You can help them. You can help yourself in ways you've never thought of if you pray for them. Pray that they will follow Christ. Privately, pray about the things you think are their faults. Pray for God to give them wisdom in raising you. Pray that God will protect them, that God will give them long life and give them good minds in their old age. Pray that your parents would obey the authorities God has appointed over them. Pray that God will bring even more peace and joy to your home. Pray that God will make your parents courageous and confident in the faith. Pray that they would gain more faith. Pray that God would provide for your parents' financial needs, that God would give them work. Pray that God would provide a vacation for their rest, and there are so many more. God has the power to make your family a wonderful family, but he likes to be asked. Pray for your parents. And as we're getting close to the end now, I want us to examine ourselves. How are we doing? Have you children, up till now, been obeying your parents? Have you thanked God for them in your prayers? Are you listening to their voices? Are you accepting their instructions? Have you adults taken care of your parents in their old age? Are you talking about your parents in an honorable way? The Lord Jesus should see in your own dealing with your parents a great similarity to how he obeyed his own. And if you can think of ways that your posture towards your parents isn't Christ-like, if you know you have troubled your house, then you must repent, for your sins are abhorrent to God. Let me encourage you that your return to obedience is good, because this verse says, obedience to parents is pleasing to the Lord. Any child can please heaven's King. You can please him who died and rose again. You can please him, children, by obeying your parents in everything. Let me close then with this question. How important do you think it is that the Lord Jesus obeyed both his heavenly Father and his earthly parents? I think I can show you that from that proverb, Proverbs 11:29, whoever troubles his own house will inherit the wind. The proverb means the troublemaker won't get a reward, won't get an inheritance from father to son. Rebellious earthly sons sometimes end up without an inheritance. But there was much more riding on the obedience of the Son of God than a house or land or money. Even before the world was made, the Son of God had signed up to be surety for God's house. The blessing or bane of creation rested on his shoulders, rested on his obedience. The destiny of his people rested on him. Has he inherited the wind, or has he inherited much more? And I think you know what the scriptures say. He shall see his seed. We have a great priest over the house of God. He learned obedience through what he suffered. The will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. I will divide him a portion with the many. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. Arise, O God. Judge the earth, for you shall inherit the nations. His obedience secured his inheritance, for the scriptures say to and of him, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And what has his obedience done for you who believe on him? It secures your inheritance also. You are those believers who inherit salvation in Christ. You are those who inherit a kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. Isn't that astonishing? Christ pleased his Father. Let every family where Christ is named strive to please him. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we confess before you the sin of not obeying our parents, nor of honoring them. And some of the sins we confess are from our youth, from decades ago. We return to you, coming to you in the mercy and grace you afford in Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave himself and his blood for us, to cleanse us and purify a people for himself. We come to you in his name, turning to you again, turning to your ordering of the world, and seeking to obey you as your children, to please you in all things. Bless us as we strive to do it. In the power of the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.